All right. Couple of things about CMOS and then some preliminary MATLAB sessions. Did any one of you have issues with installing MATLAB? Those who tried. All right, good. So there are three basic types of oscillator reactors that we are interested in. The first one is the EEG or MEG for that matter. That is there just as a function of time and there's no stimulation. And we call this ongoing oscillation or ongoing activity. From this you can infer a lot of things. For instance, the state, the behavioral cognitive or psychological state of the subject or participant. There are attempts of extracting features like what would explain Alzheimer's disease or what would be a good correlate of stress or stuff like that in the raw EEG that is just there. But whenever there's a stimulus, of course we can record those event-related potentials, but that should be induced, not incued. It probably don't mean anything. So if we think about a certain oscillation, certain frequency that's there, like prevailing when something goes on, when the brain encounters something, it might be that that particular frequency increases as a response to that stimulus. And we call that induced oscillation. But it also might be that there is this ongoing activity at a certain frequency band, and then there's a stimulus. It might not only induce more of that that frequency, it might also be the case that it actually resets the phase of the signal. I'll explain what the phase and amplitude means in a moment. So these oscillations we refer to as evoked oscillations. It has to be noted here that different people use different, give these different names. But here, I think this is a quite widely accepted terminology. If this isn't clear yet, we'll go through this again. You'll see. And when you do the MATLAB example, you'll probably see how they are different. And by the way, if you want to see a very good lecture about the characteristics of neural signals, go to YouTube and Google Robert Ostenveld. Very good tutorial. Now it's Ostenveld. Do we have any Dutch speaking to people?
With the O, with the two.
No, two O's. It's then.
Lund, and you.
And I think it's one of those field trip lectures that on YouTube. It's very good. Well, I'll try to do the same here in 2 minutes. Well, he does it better than I do, but still. The basic concepts. What the signal is made of. We see this oscillation, and at any moment, the brain does lots of things, so there are many different oscillations going on. And during the last lecture, we talked about filtering. There's certain frequency band. So if we are interested in, let's say, alpha activity, we can try to exclude all the other activity and concentrate on only that. And let's assume that we have now a certain frequency band here. We have filtered out all the other frequencies. So we are interested in this frequency, whatever that is. The oscillation, the signal, has phase and amplitude. And that's more or less all we need to know about. As a function of time, you can see that if it is a sine wave, you can think of this as a cycle that rotates like this. And whenever something rotates, this is the hub of the wheel, this is in a certain angle in relation to this. So let's say this is zero, so then this would be 360. So at any point in time, the signal is in a certain, in some phase of the cycle. So we can extract that. And it also has an amplitude. Amplitude refers to how much for the how large is the, if you think about this cycle again, so this angle would be the phase and the length of this vector would be the amplitude. So this is a bigger amplitude than this. And usually it's the case that the bigger the amplitude, slower the frequency. So the slow frequency oscillations tend to be the highest of highest amplitude. If you see a EEG pattern of a sleeping individual, there's a large regular delta. And whenever a person does something that's cognitively demanding, the amplitude tends to be smaller, the frequency tends to be higher or more irregular. But when we do signal processing, the phase, frequency and amplitude are the key concepts. Any questions about this? And of course this applies to sine waves alone. But we make the assumption that when we record something from the brain, it has this sinusoidal form. But of course it's not the case at every time. But the analyses are usually based on the assumption that the oscillation is sinusoidal. So it has this very nice shape. So how to calculate this? Well, last time I showed, and you probably, most of you know how the event-related potential is generated. So that's just average wideband EEG activity, time-locked to a certain stimulus. Basically, this induced and evoked activity, induced and evoked oscillations are roughly the same. So what happens is that we filter out everything except the band of interest here in the most basic form of analysis. If you are talking about induced oscillation, then we do the rectification, which is tasasuuntaus in Finnish. Basically it means that we ignore the sign of any value. Take absolute values. So if I have a job here.
Yeah.
If we have a signal that it's like that, when we rectify that, we end up with a signal like this. They ignore us. Underground, they crumble them all. And then we can average how much area is there, and we can see that if something happens here, it induced that amount of this activity. This will be easier when you see it in your MATLAB calculations. So it's basically the same as the calculation of the event related potential, except that we filter it more narrowly and we do this rectification in order to evaluate the magnitude of this. Alright. Then evoked oscillation. And here you have to bear in mind that induced oscillation is not dependent on the phase of the signal. What that means is that it doesn't matter where the signal is going on. Just as long as we have this, I'm trying to draw this so that they are in a different phases at a certain time point. So this would be here, that would be here, and it would be here. But if you first rectify this, they all go up, then you can just evaluate, put them all together, and it shows you how much of that frequency was present during that time window. But if you do it this way, the cleverest of you might have noticed something funny here.
It's the same.
This should be the other way around. I did this 1 o'clock in the last night, so sorry for this. So the things change when we do it like that. So now, if we had that case, and we averaged these time points, and this would be in a different phase, that would be close to zero. Only those that would be at the same time point in the same phase would actually show in the signal, as in event-related potential. So as a result, we would have this event-related potential kind of thing, and then we would make the rectification out of that, and then we can calculate how much of that signal was phase-locked to the onset of the stimulus. Are you still with me? So that's how you calculate induced and evoked oscillatory activity. And in the literature, it's not quite clear what they actually stand for. What is their role, but they are different. Sometimes you see that some stimulus causes induced activity, but there's no phase locking. And it correlates well with some cognitive behavior phenomena. Or the other way around. So they might be a different phenomenon. But let's not go to the interpretation of these signals. So that's kind of a... that probably doesn't happen very often in publications, that someone did the analysis so simply. But we can do this also so that, as a function of time, we can see activity in different frequency bands all at the same time. And this is called time frequency analysis. So here, this is time. A person has his eyes open, and as you can see, it's a very mixed frequency as a function of time. There are lots of frequencies going on, as usually when the brain is doing something actively. Then here, person closes his eyes. What happens here is that this is probably recorded from the posterior areas of the brain, so it's visual cortex is there. When a person closes his eyes, we can see that there's lots of activity here, roughly at 10 hertz. We call this alpha activity. So at the same time, this kind of analysis would tell you what happens in what frequency band as a function of time, as a response to a stimulus, for instance. So this has both good sides of, if you think about the something that happens in time domain, the ERP, or the frequency domain, this is the frequency distribution like FFT, the Fourier transform. So they are good in showing something in the frequency domain or in the temporal domain, but this has them both. So we can see the frequency distribution over time. What happened to that was frequency band. Okay, so that was the end of that, and now it's time for you to do something. Would you like me to show you around what the MATLAB looks like before you start? There are a lot of different versions. What do you have? Is it 2014 like I do?
2015.
It might look a bit different. Actually, my favorite was it 2010 or something, but then they did
I
something.
I was releasing. Actually, they looks the same.
All right. Yes.
They are the same.
Okay, so this, the resolution of this projector is not very good, so we can see, we cannot see a lot of things at the same time as we would in a big food display. But let's see what we have here. So basically we have the workspace. Now let's start from here, current folder. We put, as in File Explorer, we put some address to a certain folder here. That's usually where your data is. You look at it here. Like from here. And then this is the current folder. It shows the contents of this folder. This is like in there. So this is basically like File Explorer. It shows the actual files that are in your computer system. And then we have this workspace, which is empty now because I haven't loaded anything there. But if I said that A from now on is 1, it would be present here that now I have a variable A which has the value of 1. And this is the command window. You can, now I could add 1 to A, and actually that would give me 2. Doesn't sound very fancy yet, but it can be calculated, it can be done in MATLAB. So basically we are loading the data to this workspace, which usually takes a form of a matrix. It can be multi-dimensional matrix, but we are not going that way now. So we have just like two-dimensional. We have trials times the timeline. But this window here is the editor window. It's a little point of putting commands here and then typing every time your commands here. It's a lot easier if we put the commands here and then we just say that we could paint it and press F9 and it would do it. And if you want to do exactly the same thing for other subjects, for instance, you just change the name of the file that you want to process. Jarmo and Simo are going to go through some examples of open source software that are built on MATLAB. Jarmo is probably going to show you the Brainstorm, which is graphical, but it still works in MATLAB, but it has a graphical user interface. Simo is probably going to give you some scripts that you run from here, and you just say that now I want to do this to that file, and then you see some figures happen. But
where can we find the editor option? Because I don't have it.
All right, I'll just stop this now and let's start doing the demo demonstration, the demo work. So have you all downloaded the package that was in Pokemon?
It wasn't finished.
I know. But the script itself